Our catechism question, what offices doth Christ execute as our Redeemer? Answer, Christ as our Redeemer executeth the offices of a prophet, of a priest, and of a king, both in his estate of humiliation and exaltation. Now we are going to reserve talking about what is a prophet, what is a priest, and what is a king, because there are going to be catechism questions for each of those respective offices as to how Christ executeth them. But the first thing to recognize is the title Christ. Mashiach in Hebrew and Christos in Greek, Christ in English, it means anointed. And the point is that in the triune God's decree, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and so the Father and the Son and the Spirit decree as one. It's not like the Father commands the Son. That is not an appropriate relationship to think of within the Godhead. But in the triune God's decree, the Son commits to carrying out the redemptive work, and as he does so, he commits to becoming incarnate for our sake and accomplishing our redemption. And as he does so, when he takes to himself a human nature, he will be anointed from among men. This is something that Hebrews especially highlights, where it says, no one takes the office of himself, but they are anointed, they are separated from among men by God. And so the Son from all eternity has committed not just to redeeming, but to being set apart. In that context, Hebrews is talking about his priesthood, but we do see all three different anointings in the Old Testament, especially in the case of Elijah, who anoints his successor, anoints king, anoints priest, all at one time as he prepares to go. But we see various priests anointed. There's, of course, the very famous Psalm 133, that has a picture in it, a word picture in it, of Aaron, the high priest. And at that time, the high priest, the exemplary high priest, the oil running down his beard. Of course, Aaron is long gone by the time Psalm 133 comes about, and he is being used there as emblematic of Christ and Christ's priesthood. So Aaron is emblematic of Christ's priesthood. David is emblematic of Christ's kingship. David also, perhaps the most famously anointed king, many times in the Psalter, when it uses the word Messiah, when it uses the word anointed or Christ. It is referring in the immediate context to David, but it is referring to Jesus by prophecy called typology, where David is a type of Christ, and Jesus then is what we call the antitype, the original of which the foreshadowing person, or thing, in this case person, David, is a type of him. And we have the anointing also of prophets, for instance, Elijah, as we have already mentioned, anointing Elisha. So the Lord Jesus, as he's taking to himself his humanity, he is committing to receiving from God a commission to being separated by God unto a specific task. And there's a specific set of tasks as a prophet, and there's a specific set of tasks as a priest, and there's a specific set of tasks as a king. And so we see that in order for God to be with us, Emmanuel, to be Yahweh who saves as a man, and that's his name Jesus, Yahweh who saves, he has to fulfill all these tasks that are necessary unto our salvation. And these are tasks that he has to fulfill, and we think especially of his fulfilling those tasks in his humiliation, in his earthly ministry, leading up to and including his death, his teaching ministry, and his offering himself on the cross, and so forth. But he's also a king before his humiliation. He's also a king before his exaltation. He's already a king when he comes, and he warns those who are blaspheming about how it is that he performs miracles and so forth. And he warns them that if what he is doing is by the power of God, then the kingdom is already among them, that the king has come. And of course, we have already had in Matthew the announcement by John that the kingdom is at hand, and then the king arrives, and Jesus is the king. Well, he is prophet, priest, and king throughout his earthly ministry, but he's still prophet, priest, and king now to us. He is still executing the offices of a prophet towards us, of a priest in our behalf, of a king over us. And if he wasn't, we couldn't be saved. It is in his execution, his carrying out of those offices that to which he has been set apart, those tasks to which he has been commissioned, that he continues even now to apply our redemption. And even after our redemption is fully applied and we are glorified, he will continue for unending ages to be glorified as prophet, priest, and king, as the word of God to us, as the one in whom God has drawn near to us and we have drawn near to God, as the one who is the forever king in the new heavens and the new earth, the king of kings. Whatever structure there may be beneath him, we don't know whether there is or not. We don't know if it's metaphorically speaking that it talks about kings of nations in the new earth being under him. It seems more likely that all of us will be counted kings, since that is one of the ways that we praise him, and there is reserved for those who are his a crown of righteousness and so forth. But even after the return and the resurrection and the judgment, even after the devil and his angels and all the reprobate are gone and all the elect have been glorified, he'll continue to be prophet, priest, and king. He'll continue carrying out those offices. These are things that he is prophet, priest, and king as the anointed. But notice that the question and answer emphasize not identity as much as action. What offices doth Christ execute? Christ is our Redeemer. Executeth. He is active and diligent and zealous and joyful and faithful and persistent in his action as the Lord's anointed in our behalf. And so even before we really get into what he does as a prophet, what he does as a priest, what he does as a king, it is good for us in this particular question to remember that there were these three offices and the duties connected to them that he has faithfully carried out.